Welcome back, everybody, to The X. Today, I have on Laura Jawad. Laura is an SEO strategist. Hi, Laura. How are you doing today?
Good. Hi, Brenda. Thanks so much for having me on today.
I'm so glad that you're here. We were just talking before we pressed record. I came across Laura on another colleague's in the digital media marketing world podcast, and I just fell in love with everything that you said around SEO. And it's something that I'm kind of like self-teaching myself around. And I haven't necessarily been putting a lot of emphasis on my own business. And so I'm glad that you're here today because I've got so many questions for you. And I'm like privileged that I have my podcast and I can invite you on and then just have you all to myself for the next half hour. But I'm really excited because like, here's some details just so that everyone knows about where Laura's from, what she's all about. So Laura is, like, as I mentioned, an SEO strategist and helps build, she helps build her clients' roster without relying on social media. So I want to definitely dig into that today because I know the angst sometimes of my own clients, you know, getting their social media accounts up and running and feeling that it's like a full-time job in itself. But the cool thing about Laura also that everyone should know is that you've also built another business before your SEO strategist business, I believe, that's all about personal training and women's health. And so, you know, you're on your like second round of entrepreneurship, which I think is amazing too. So
yeah,
welcome.
It's kind of hard to believe.
Well, I think that's having grown up in an entrepreneurial family, both my parents were entrepreneurs. It's like, I think once you get the bug, it's like there's the next thing and then the next thing. And it's like there's this constant evolution. So I try and incentivize my clients to think that way, that it's not just sort of like a one and done business. So that's awesome that you're on your second evolution of entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
And what made you decide to get into SEO strategy work?
Well, I learned SEO for my personal training business. And when I began that business, it was actually personal training and birth doula support. So it was really like wraparound services for pregnant and postpartum folks. Mm-hmm. And I tried going the social media route to market that business. Thinking that that is what I had to do to run a business, particularly an online business. My personal training business is online, okay. But really found that the social media didn't resonate with me. Mm-hmm. And that had me thinking that I just wasn't cut out to be a business owner. You know, at some point I began to equate being good at social media with being good at running a business.
Yeah, right? Totally two different things, right? As far as like what you deliver to your clients and
yeah. I mean, but like newbie mistake, right? Mm-hmm. And at some point I started I started noticing like what I did actually enjoy with my social media, which was the long form captions. Like I was essentially using it as a blog, and at some point I started posting that stuff to my website. Okay. And then I started getting some traction from my website. And then I started looking into that, right? Mm-hmm. Like how do I get more of this? So it was a pretty organic transition from social media to SEO for me, right? Because I just sort of leaned into what was working for me. And the SEO worked really, really well. I've never gotten a personal training client from social media, even though I remained active on my platform. Mm-hmm. But my clients all found me through my website.
That's incredible. Because I mean, we were just talking about it too. It's like, I think there's a lot of times where we build these, you know, very beautiful websites, and spend a lot of money and time and effort, you know, building these, or outsourcing obviously to a web designer, and not to knock web designers, because they do fabulous jobs for us. But I think there's a missing component, and it's partly, I think maybe I'm going to make the assumption due to our own awareness as business owners, like there's lots of plates that we're juggling in the air. And so SEO is sort of something that like, oh, we'll do later or we'll figure out later. But it sounded like, you know, after you had this realization about social media and kind of where you wanted to spend your time as a business owner, it was like, let's bring this to the forefront and start working on it now. And you saw a huge payoff, which is amazing.
Yeah, a huge payoff, you know, and it's worth noting, like my website was completely a DIY job.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I built my website. It wasn't a $20,000
website. I love it. Yeah. Okay.
You know, awesome. I built it on Wix. And when I started getting really into my SEO, I moved it over to WordPress. Mm-hmm. So I learned how to use WordPress. You know, and SEO has it's not a short win. It's a long-term strategy, right? And so you know, I spent a lot of effort up front, like learning WordPress, learning the SEO, but mm-hmm. it's something that really paid off.
And like when we talk about this sort of like payoff, like what are some of like the big wins that, I mean, so long-term game, got yeah. it. But what are some of the big wins when we have that patience and we have that discipline to put SEO in place? What sort of things can we see in our business?
So you're able to draw in your ideal clients to your website passively, right? Okay. And so what that brings with it is a different kind of work-life balance. It gives you freedom from, say, the 24/7 hustle of social media. Mm-hmm. It's something that allowed me to run my business through like a very serious medical year because I didn't have to put any effort into really, let's say, extroverted marketing.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I continued doing the things on my website, like producing new long form content, keeping my website optimized. Mm-hmm. But to me, and I think so much of this depends on personality, right? And I think so many times we fall into this trap of thinking like we have to market one way, you know, and obviously what works for me is not necessarily going to work for you. But I think just to give another option, right? For me, spending the time on long form content, on optimizing my website feels like a better energetic match, so to say. It feels really good to me. And then I have that payoff in terms of being able to draw in really warm leads and fill my client roster and keep my business running without having to rely on my socials, rely on ads.
Okay. You've mentioned like, there's like probably like four or five things in there that I want to tease out a little bit better. Like not relying on ads, you mentioned, feeling like you can talk about your business and connect with your warm, like the warm leads of your audience, passively so that you don't feel like you're on, you know, your business 24/7 having to promote offers, et cetera. And like, and your personal brand. And then this long form content. So can you say a little bit more about this long form content? Because, you know, maybe some people right now might be thinking, well, now I have to sit here and like, be like a writer and I'm not necessarily a writer. What does that feel like or look like?
So if you want to make the most of your SEO, your website has to have a knowledge base. And that sounds really fancy, but essentially you have to be filling in the blog feature of your website. And for me, I am a writer. And so I write blog posts that could be, in your case, it could be podcast, like really like good podcast show notes, like fleshed out podcast show notes.
Okay.
If you have a YouTube channel, it could be like highlighting your videos and the transcripts, right? But one way or another, your website has to be highlighting some form of long form content because it creates this knowledge base that provides Google with context about your expertise. Mm-hmm. And it demonstrates that you're an expert, right? Google is never going to look at a 5-page website and consider you an expert. You've got to provide this context. Related, each one of those pages provides a backdoor into your website, right? Each one of those is a keyword opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity to answer someone's question that they're typing into the search bar. So the more pages of high quality content that you have on your website, the more opportunities you have to be found, the more context Google has for your services, right? So those are the two things. I'll just circle back, you know, you mentioned people are going to panic and say, oh my God, now I have to do this thing.
They might. Like other writers out there
might. They might. Yeah. They might. Yeah. So we're all making a choice, right, about how we want to market our business. Like I choose not to market as heavily on Instagram and focus on my website. So that's where my time and energy go. It's not that I am marketing, like spending all that time on Instagram and on my website. Like you choose where you want to put your energy.
Right.
And a big mistake that I see is that folks are duplicating that effort. So they think that they have to produce all this content for Instagram or whatever their social platform is. And then they have to think of something for their blog and spend all this time writing for their blog. When in reality, this is like a repurposing solution, right? So I see so many people writing this beautiful content for their Instagram or sending it out to their email list.
Right.
Right. We could just be posting that all on our website and boom, you've got some content with maybe some minimal reformatting, fleshing out a little bit.
Right.
But you're not, it's not as if it's a completely bespoke project, right? You're taking content that you're already creating and you're just using it in another place.
Yeah. And I love that because even if I look at my own business model right now, I do spend a lot of time on Instagram and then my newsletter. Those are my sort of like two primary channels. I'm on like a few other social media channels, but those would be like, you know, where do I spend my time during the week and connecting in with my audience? Those would be the two places. And I think, you know, when I think about long form content, yeah, sure. In my newsletter, I absolutely do long form content, but also on Instagram, I also do long form content in the form of carousels. You know, cause I'll like, you know, pack some things into a 5-6 slide carousel post around managing your time or setting boundaries in place with your clients. You know, and I'll go through like a step-by-step process. There's no reason why I couldn't take that into a blog or vice versa, have that in the blog and then splice that out into a smaller Instagram carousel post is what you're basically saying.
100%. Yeah. I mean, if I was advising you, I see like three, like ready-made sources of long-form content for your blog, right? It's those Instagram captions, it's your emails, and it's this podcast.
And right? The podcast, so, yeah, true.
Yeah, and so you've got three easy pieces of content to repurpose onto your blog. Now, yes, it takes some energy to like physically go and repost it, but the content is done.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that about, I mean, I often say that to my clients too around like if you've got an idea, right? You've got that overarching need or solution, high value, you know, subject line that you know you can provide for your clients. You know, what are all the multiple ways that you can share it? And my last sort of approach has been blog, partly because I think it's like really time consuming. I have to write so much more, but I'm probably writing the same amount when I do look at other people's blogs and I do read blogs that I put into my other channels. And so it's just, it's now just sort of thinking that, and I like what you said too, is like, cause you know, even with the newsletter, I mean, probably right now I could go back to the last like 2-3 years of my newsletter and pull out like a good, like, what, you know, and I know from the analytics on my newsletter, platform on ConvertKit, you know, where the open rates and clicks and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, okay, these are my top performing newsletters, flip them into blogs.
Yeah. And I don't think that we need to worry about, like, I've heard people be resistant to posting their newsletter content on their blog because they don't want their newsletter readers to feel like they're not, you know, that they're not getting special content or whatnot. But really, I mean, you're getting in front of different audiences, right? Your newsletter readers probably aren't seeing it on your blog. And folks that are finding you through the internet may or may not sign up for your newsletter. You don't know. And so
exactly. And there's the old adage too in marketing where sometimes people need to see things 7 to 11 times for it to actually really sink in and resonate with them. So
yeah. And so just to get that content in front of the most people, put it on your website too.
Okay. I love that. Okay, let's talk a little bit though, because I mean, this is something that I know you've talked about, but like, is SEO hard to do? Is it like just too techie? You know, can the average business owner take on SEO on their plate right now of all the other things that they have to do?
Yes, I think the average business owner is more than capable of doing SEO. Now, when we, I think just to take a step back and kind of define like what the foundations of good SEO are, there is a tech foundation, like the back end of your website, how well is it running? And to put it in practical terms, that's like, how fast does your website load? Does it look good on mobile? Things like that. Right. And then there's links back to your website. So do you have links from other relevant websites back to your own website? And then there's the keywords and content, right? And what I will say is that the techie stuff doesn't matter if there's no keywords and content on your website, right? And so for the average business owner, for the folks that I am working with, the first thing that we are focused on is getting content on the website. Because that other stuff, we don't care if we're not pointing back to a website full of value.
Okay.
Right? And so for folks who are worried about it being too techie, I would argue just forget that aspect of SEO even exists for now and worry about getting your emails reposted onto your website. Worry about doing a little bit of keyword research.
Okay.
You know, in terms of the tech stuff, there's even stuff there that the average business owner can do. The number one thing that slows down our website is giant images.
Right.
Right. And if you uploaded your images to your website in the first place, you're capable of like compressing them and then re-uploading them, right? Just making them a little smaller,
putting
a keyword in the file name. Those things aren't hard, and those things are hugely impactful. When we think about the stuff that we're really intimidated about, that is what I would call the pointy end of SEO.
Okay.
And we don't need to even worry about it until we're getting great content on our website and doing the low-hanging fruit tasks like compressing our images. And so those are things that I truly believe, like if we are capable of getting our clients great results, we're capable of doing these tasks. And they don't have to add a ton of time.
All right. Well, that's really encouraging. What about like when you talked about keywords, you know, and researching what clients are, your potential clients are looking for on Google right now and what's coming up in the search bar. What are ways that we can just be like more aware of that? So when we're titling our blogs or putting, you know, content out there in our blogs that we should be mindful of, like where do we start in that area?
Yeah. So let me start by just defining what a keyword is in case folks aren't familiar, because I think a lot of times there's a misunderstanding that a keyword is one word, but actually it's a word or phrase.
Okay.
That your ideal client is typing into the Google search bar. And so when you're thinking about, like when you're writing a blog, for example, when you think about how you would want someone to find that blog, think about what problem am I solving that should lead someone to this. What would someone type into Google to find this blog? And I would start there. And then I would go to the Google search bar and start typing that thing in and see if it auto completes in the search bar.
So even like, let's just play this out for our audience today and use me as a bit of a guinea pig in this. Cause I'm going to put this podcast up on my podcast channel on Apple, Spotify, etc. How do you think I should title it? Knowing my audience is midlife, women entrepreneurs, and that, you know, this is going to be like a helpful thing that's going to help them, you know, generate warm leads. What would be a great title just to name it right now? And I'll use it. We'll test it.
We have to think like, what is the problem that your clients want to solve using SEO?
Yeah. Well, I would think, like some of the things that you've already mentioned, not being on social, like how can I not be on social media every day, but generate leads?
Yeah. So you could look up keywords like how to generate leads without social media, how to get clients without social media,
right?
Something like that. And I would take that as a seed key phrase, and I would go to the Google search bar and start typing that in and see if something like that auto-populates. Now, if it does not auto-populate, it means it's not an indexed keyword, and it means no one's searching for that term. So then you can try massaging it a little bit until you find something that does work. I mean, that is the most easy peasy, like lowest tech way of doing keyword research. Absolutely, we could get more nerdy with it.
Okay. Right? That's a good place to start. Yeah.
But like this is like the most basic thing, like make sure your keyword is indexed. And so if we're titling this and we're thinking, okay, like the problem we're trying to solve is like how to get new clients without social media, or how to get clients using your website, I would go start typing that into Google. How to get clients using your website and see if it comes up. And if it doesn't, you could hit enter and then see what comes up in the related searches, right? Because those are indexed search phrases.
Well, I'll just invite all the listeners that are like listening to us like jam about this potential title of the podcast. You'll see the title of the podcast when you actually like start listening to it. So you'll see what I ended up coming up with. But I think those are really good suggestions. So, and it's not complicated from what you're telling me. It's like just work back to the problem that you're trying to solve for somebody and then test it out in the Google search bar to see, you know, is there certain ones where it's like, I want the most popular phrase. Like I want as many people like, okay, like, you know, 8 billion people have searched for this because that's how many people are on the planet as a possibility. Or do I want something smaller? Like 100,000 people have searched for this.
So that is a great question. And you actually want to go even smaller.
Okay.
So for us, for folks with smaller websites, for folks who are maybe just starting their website or have never invested in SEO, you actually want to search for something that's indexed but has a super small search volume, because those are the least competitive terms. If okay. you try and compete for a term that is 100,000 searches a month, you're not going to be found for that term. Okay. It's simply all too right. many. So, you know, obviously when you just go type something into Google, you have no idea how many people are searching for that. There's mm-hmm. really easy tools that can give you that information, like free and freemium tools that can give you that information. But you can also just look at what type of search results are coming up. So if we go and we type in like how to get warm leads from your website without social media, and you look at what comes up, if it is like news outlets, if it is, you know, Amy Porterfield's website, if it is like these really large brands, mm-hmm. and you might go, I'm probably not going to be competitive with these. So okay. let me try yeah. rephrasing this differently. Now, right. the great thing about using a longer key phrase is that just by virtue of the length, it's a more specific search term. It's going to be lower traffic, but those lower traffic searches are higher converting.
Okay.
Right. You've got problem aware folks typing in their ish into the search bar looking for an answer.
Yeah.
And so those people are more likely to become clients in the long run. So you don't need as many of them.
And then what do you think about Reddit? Like looking for, you know, search words or what people, like maybe even your sort of niche audience is, you know, looking for. Is Reddit like a good place to also
Yeah, check I think out? I think that's great. So I think that using your brain is like a great first pass at thinking of keywords, but then mm-hmm. other places to look. I think Reddit is awesome.
Okay.
If you're in any like forums there, Facebook groups are also really good.
Okay.
You know, for my pregnancy and postpartum fitness business, right? Like I'm in a number of groups, Facebook groups, other people's groups mm-hmm. for pregnancy and postpartum fitness topics, right? And I can see the questions that all these people are asking. Right. And when you start seeing that same question asked over and over again, you're like, maybe this would be like a good piece of content. Right. You can see the words they're using to ask the question. So Reddit forums, Facebook groups, those are great sources of keywords. You know, I know people even use Amazon book reviews. It's not something that I have personally done, but I think it's a cool idea to go and look at reviews on a topically relevant book and see what kind of language people are using when they discuss it. You know, what kind of value are they getting out of it? Like what topics are resonating?
So yeah. I'll often, you know, talk about that with clients more for like sales page, but not to necessarily think about SEO, but I guess in turn it does do the same thing. Cause we get, you know, so trapped in our own phraseology of things, or if we're, you know, clinically trained on something or certified on something, we're going to use the textbook response sometimes because we're just so used to communicating.
Yeah.
In that maybe that, you know, the clients that we want to work with, that language doesn't necessarily resonate with them, but it interprets a different way. So see how they're talking about it, reviews, et cetera, or comments in other people's like Instagram posts or something like that with other people that are writing like the same content as you.
Yeah. Or, I mean, Brenda, you can do voice of customer research.
Yes.
Just like go to your Instagram stories and make a poll and ask, like, if you were to search Google for this solution, like what would your query be? What would you type into the search bar?
Yeah, I love that. And then see what people sign up, you know, put in there. And then that's the title of your next blog post.
Yeah.
It's like, you can even ask people, hey, I need to title my blog post and it's on this. What would you suggest? And see what they come up with, and then test it in Google. Yeah. I mean, I think you can have lots of fun with this and then incorporate that with your clients or with your community. When we talk about, like, as you talk about making your website Google friendly, you talked about a couple of things already, like, you know, making sure your photos, if you've got large photos on there, that they're compressed. What are some other things? Like you talked about also speed, like, right? Like, you know, like your site should load after a certain amount of seconds. What are some of those Google friendly tips that you would suggest for people?
Yeah. So stuff that's like low hanging fruit for the average business owner, right? Like, yes, we want our website to load fast. You're not going to go in and do a lot of the like really granular techie stuff on the back end of your website, but you can control the size of your images. So it's a place I would definitely start. And so if you don't know how big your photos are, just go to your website, load it in a browser, right click on your photo, save it, and look, how big is it?
Okay.
And if it's too big, compress it, rename it with a keyword rich file name, and mm-hmm. then upload it back to your website. The keywords and content, right? So I will just like keep driving that one home. That one is so important. Just start putting high quality content on your website. It can be reused, but start putting stuff on your website. The third one that we have control over is the backlinks. So Google is a robot. And so it can't directly trust your website, right? It doesn't have that feeling, but it uses right. signals like the number of links from other contextually relevant websites back to your own website as trust signals. So it says, okay, if all these other websites that are doing similar or related stuff mm-hmm. link back to Brenda, then they must trust Brenda. So I'm going to trust Brenda. Oh, so okay. you want to get as many contextually relevant links as you can. And so what that means is that it doesn't help you out if you go get a link from your mom's knitting blog, because it's not contextually relevant, right?
Right.
But if you can get a link back from my blog, mm-hmm. that is probably relevant, right? Because even though like you're a business coach, I'm doing SEO, but it's business stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Like that's clients relevant are, enough.
Yeah. Yeah, our clients are crossover. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if you have, and so this is, I think podcast guesting is a fabulous way to build these links, because I'm, you know, I'll take myself as an example. This is a strategy I'm using, and I'm having conversations with folks who are going to provide me with contextually relevant links, right? You're a business owner or a business coach. And after this conversation, I will have links from your entities back to my website, right? Which sends Google the signal that you trust me.
Right.
And so it's like one more egg in the trust basket.
I love that. So, I mean, advice right now for some people, and I've shared this with some of my clients, yes, you could start your own podcast, but why not go out there and be a guest on other people, like 10 other people's podcasts, right? Just yeah. to get, you know, more eyes on your website and then start uploading your own podcast, yeah. right? So you get that traffic coming.
Yeah. And the backlink building activities, I think, are so valuable because it's, you get the link back to the website, which improves your SEO, which mm-hmm. over time makes your website more visible. But at the same time, you're getting in front of someone else's audience. So right. it's more of an immediate ROI. Mm-hmm. And you're creating a relationship with the podcast host. And that is priceless, right? Because like, you know, you're building a new colleague. Like maybe it's a referral source in both yeah. directions. Like you have no idea what opportunities that's going to open up. And so I mean, this is probably a whole other conversation, but in terms of building backlinks, I think when you can actually do some type of collaboration like this mm-hmm. and actually kind of hit so many valuable like networking or check so many boxes, I guess. I mean, it moves your business forward in so many ways. And so, you know, for you, I'd be encouraging your clients to just like think about creative ways to build those backlinks. You know, I see a lot of advice out there about, you know, like cold emailing, like looking for broken links on other people's websites and then cold emailing them and saying, hey, I noticed this link on your website's broken and I have really good content on my website. Would you replace that link with my link? I just like, it makes my really? Insights okay. verbal.
That seems like a lot
those,
of like,
I get those on my, because I have an active yeah. blog, right? So I get those emails and I delete every single one of them. I think they're kind of icky.
Yeah. A little on the creepy side, but also it sounds very labor intensive.
It's so labor intensive. You're not building relationships.
Right.
There's no short-term ROI, mm-hmm. right? Like I think the number one thing that you could be doing to build links to your website is like the guest podcasting, maybe guest blogging. But providing value to other people's audiences in some way. So you get the link, you get the exposure, and you get the relationship.
I love that. That's really, yeah, that's like right there. I wasn't even expecting that as a juicy nugget, but I've got like so many bells going off in my head. Like I'll have to listen to this podcast again to make sure that I've got some of the things I was saying to you earlier before we press record, like my to-do list for spring around SEO. It's like, okay, I got to relook at some things that I'm doing around my podcast strategy, just based off of that last little segment that you shared. What are some of the myths that you think hold people back from diving into SEO as a business strategy?
So, okay. One, I think people think their social media is enough,
mm-hmm.
right? But I would argue that if you're solely relying on social media, if we ignore the fact that you're on rented land and it could be taken from you at any moment, mm-hmm. like just ignoring that, you're missing out on this whole segment of people that is going to Google to get answers and solutions to their problems. And like, when you think about your own behavior, where do you go to get solutions to your problems? It's usually Google.
Google. Right? I mean, like even my kids, like when they were younger, I'd be like, Mom, you know, like, did you know this and this and this? I'm like, how'd you learn about that? Google. Google.
Yeah. And so if you're not findable, you're missing out on all of that. Social media is not enough.
Right.
But conversely, having a website isn't enough either. And so we touched on that already, right? If you're not optimizing your website to get found, then just having it out there on the internet doesn't matter, right? You've got to create the roads that lead to your property. You've got to be putting out the billboards telling people that you're, you know, like make the next left turn, like, and you'll find my website there. And I think we've hit on both of those things, but the final one that I would add to that is that the ultimate goal with SEO is more traffic, that more traffic equals success. But actually, you know, traffic in and of itself is like likes on a post. It's a vanity metric. What we mm-hmm. want is the right traffic. And that goes back to what you were talking about with keywords, right? I'd rather target a keyword that gets 0 to 40 searches a month in Google, knowing that those people are way more likely to join my email list, to become my customers in the long run, than to target a keyword that's going to get me 1,000 visitors a month, but it's not going to be aligned traffic, right?
Yeah.
So thinking critically about what is the goal of each piece of content we're putting up, the goal of the, like the intent of the keyword that we're using, is this going to bring in the type of traffic that is going to grow my business? So those are maybe not myths that are holding people back. Well, the first two are. The third one is just me on my soapbox again. But
Yeah,
I think people really assume that social media is enough, and then they assume that they put up their website.
Like, okay, I'm open for business.
The box, like I'm done.
Yeah. But what I think what I'm taking away from today's discussion is you've actually got a lot of great content. If you're already doing social media, I'm going to say you probably already have lots of great content. You need to flip it into a blog post, or if you've got a podcast, you know, beef up the show notes, you know, put that effort into it and have those in your, you know, on your website so that people can find it. And yeah, and that all your efforts that are you're putting into your business are actually paying off because you're getting those warm leads, those people that are really focused on wanting to work with you.
Yeah,
and it saves you the steps. I love the fact that you can say that's like, you know, I don't have to like be entertaining all these people on social media, hoping that they're going to join my email list. And then maybe 5 years from now, they sign up and work with me. I can actually start seeing the return on investment on all this work that I'm doing on the back end sooner, which is great. And not having to feel like I have to work 24/7 in my business. What's one thing, like if we go behind the scenes, because you've shared so much about what you're doing around like, you know, helping out your clients with SEO. I'm obviously assuming you do this for your own business. But what's, you know, like when we talk about going behind the scenes as, you know, in your business right now as an entrepreneur, that you're focused on doing this year in 2024 to build your email list? I'm always curious. And I always ask entrepreneurs that.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I launched, so I pivoted my business or created the new business late last year. I productized my SEO business in late 2024 or 2023. Okay. What year is it?
Yeah. 2023. Yeah. Okay.
And I launched a new website towards the end of November. So I'm living all this right now.
Right.
And so my goal for like Q1 and Q2 this year is brand visibility. It's building my SEO. It's building my email list. So I built an SEO optimized website, mm-hmm. right? My website is good. The activities that I'm doing ongoing, because it takes a while for that SEO to vest, the things that I'm doing to sort of nurture my SEO, I'm posting weekly blog content. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeding Google. I am guest podcasting to build backlinks.
Right.
Right. And that gets, that's the brand awareness. That's the backlinks. And then I'm participating in various collaborations. I'm going to be part of a webinar next week with a couple of colleagues on how to avoid common website mistakes when you're starting a new website, right? That's an email list building activity. I have a number of like bundles and summits that I'm participating in. So those are my list building activities. So sort of like there is some demarcation between like the really active list building stuff, which I would call like the webinars, the summits, the bundles, the visibility and the backlinks, which is like the podcast guesting.
Right.
And then the direct SEO, which is my, you know, the initial optimization of my website and the ongoing content creation there.
And I'd say the majority of it is, I mean, you've got some independent work that you're doing on the back end yourself, but the majority of it is working in collaboration with other business owners, like-minded people, right? And bringing in, like bringing collectively the communities together, which is something we talked about before, as far as being on other people's podcasts. Like that can be like a short-term win right there. I've been on other people's podcasts. I could wait 3, 4, 5 months for them, you know, to join on my email, but sometimes I've had people like inquire into my services, like right after being on a podcast with somebody. So it could be short, it could be a long-term game, but it could also be like a really quick win too by doing some of those things.
Yeah. And I think I would add to all this, when we talk about all these different marketing channels, SEO, social media, ads, referral marketing, I think a lot of times we silo those when actually they're like a cocktail, right? And we're not doing any of them in isolation. And I think this is like a beautiful example of that. So I would say my main channel, I want it to be SEO in the long run, but I'm also doing quite a bit of like PR and referral marketing as well, right? These activities don't have to exist in isolation. And in fact, it's really hard to draw the line sometimes between like, okay, is this activity right here? I'm on a podcast with you. Is this PR or is this SEO because I'm building a link for my website?
Yeah.
I mean, really doesn't matter, right?
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Yeah.
It's all a spectrum of stuff. And I think the important thing is that we're putting ourselves out there in different ways so that we're providing access to people who learn in different ways, who search in different ways, who get their information in different ways. You know, it's always valuable to be on multiple platforms.
Yeah, this is great. This has been amazing. I've taken up so much of your time, but I mean, I could still continue to talk. I'm like, should we just pull up my website now? But like, we can just, but, like, I'm not going to like overstep, you know, like my opportunity here. You have a gift that you're going to share with the listeners. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I put together a freebie called the SEO Kickstart Kit, and it's a collection of 5 checklists. That will help you set up your website to attract qualified leads on autopilot. And so this is for the absolute SEO newbie. It's not too techie. It's not going to take up too much time. If you want to get nerdy, there are 5 checklists. You can go as deep into it as you want to, but you can get this on my website at laurajawadmarketing.com/SEO-kickstart-kit.
Awesome. And for those of you that like didn't have a pen handy, don't worry. We've got it in the show notes. So you can just click it right there and head to it. Laura, this has been amazing. We'll make sure that also people have in the show notes all the locations on like where to find you, your website, Instagram, etc. Thank you so much for being on today and sharing all of your wisdom with us. I hope people reach out to you and take you up on your Kickstarter kit and as well on your services around SEO. Any parting words for the listeners?
Stop producing disposable content. That's going to be my starting word. Okay. Go repost some content today. Go take something from your Instagram and put it on your blog and make sure you take a little bit of action today.
Awesome. Thank you so much.